Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Good morning, Soul Patrol. Jesus 911. Tobias and Sarah. That's my Jess and my wife Anita. Good morning, babe.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Spiritual warfare every Fridays, and this is again Tobias and Sarah, Jess and Anita. And why do I mention that? I'll tell you why. Because when you look at the book of Tobit, you see that it was through the sacrament of marriage that they were able to drive out a demon from their house. And so this is important. I think we're doing this more just to give young, just to give couples inspiration that if you pray together, if both of you are people of faith, if both of you are trying to follow the Lord and live in a state of grace, this is the power to drive out the diabolical. It's in the book of Tobit. That unlocks the entire understanding for spiritual warfare. We're going to start off with the St. Michael the Archangel prayer and Anima Christi prayer. That's part of our morning prayers here at the Romero household. And it's also part of our evening prayers as well. Both of these prayers are spiritual warfare prayers. The St. Michael the Archangel and the Soul of Christ, sometimes pronounced Anima Christi. And so we'll pray right now just to kick off the show. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within your wounds, hide me. Separated from you, let me never be. From the evil one, protect me. At the hour of my death, call me. And close to you, keep me, that with your saints and angels, we may be praising you forever and ever. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Sorrows,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Fatima,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Akita, Japan,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Success,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Victory,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph, Terror of Demons,
pray for us.
Saint Raphael,
pray for us.
Saint Gabriel,
pray for us.
All you holy angels and saints of God,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Wow, that's what we needed to set and to begin this show.
Yeah.
The power of prayer with a couple. Couple power prayer.
Again, you know, just if you want to see what we're doing, it's in the book of Tobit. And I know you can't see me right now. I just updated my Skype, so I will go ahead and call in the studio here so that you guys can see us. We were updating the Skype. But okay, I'll just turn off the volume on the Skype. So let's there's a lot of good questions that always come into the show, Jesus 911, especially because we've bumped up our game. We brought in Liber Christo instructors of exorcism, Kyle Clement and Dan Schneider. So we're getting a lot of emails now. So we want to just answer some of these questions because if one person asks a question, there's probably 1,000 people that have the same question. So let's get to it, Anita.
Yeah, absolutely. We get so many questions, and Jesse does his best to answer those questions. So if your question isn't answered the day you send your email, he'll eventually get to it, and we send it to you. And sometimes we'll even post it, but we'll keep you anonymous. So just to let you know. So here's the first question. How do demons retaliate against fathers of a family if he operates outside his authority, or he is not the Saint Joseph of the family? So how does that, if you could just go a little further on that, my nope. love, and the authority is so important in those people that are praying for other people, right?
So retaliation from demons, you want to see a classic example of that. It's in Acts chapter 19. You have seven Jewish brothers, they're called the sons of Sceva, and they're praying and trying to cast out a demon from a possessed person. And they start praying in the name of Jesus, but they're not followers of Jesus. And so they're acting outside their authority. Number one, they didn't, because they're not followers of Christ, they're using the name of Christ. They're using it more than anything superstitiously, because it doesn't indicate that they were followers. So they're acting outside their authority as well, because again, when you pray in the name of Jesus, that's a very powerful weapon, and you have to be a follower of Christ to be using that name.
Would you say you have to be baptized?
Absolutely. You
right?
have to be baptized.
Yes.
To be incorporated into the body of Christ to use the name of Jesus. So when you act outside of your authority, demons will retaliate against the fathers of the family if he operates outside of his authority. And what do? They go after your marriage. They go after your kids or your areas of weakness. And so demons retaliate against the sacrament that orients you towards God, which is your marriage.
Really quick, just clarify outside of your marriage when fathers act outside. Just give an example of that. Because I think people are saying, well, what do you mean outside?
Yeah. If I, Jess Romero, have full authority over my children, over my wife, to pray over them, bless them, imprecatory prayers, deprecatory prayers, blessings, driving out evil spirits. Now, if the neighbor comes up to me, said, "Hey, Jess, I know you're a man of prayer and you pray over your kids and pray for your wife and stuff and pray prayers of protection and blessings. Can you come and pray prayers of protection over my kids?" Can't do it. You know what I would do to Mr. Ferguson next door? I would say, "They're not my kids. I have no authority. I'm opening myself up to diabolical retaliation if I go and start praying over your kids and putting my right hand over them." You can do it, though, because you're their father. So I'll teach you how to do it. I'll just walk you through it. Mr. Mm-hmm. Ferguson, repeat after me. Put your right hand over their heads and repeat after me. That's the way you do it. Now, can I pray? Any one of us can pray intercessory prayers for the neighbors next door. That would be deprecatory type prayers. You'd say, "Lord Jesus, my next door neighbor is asking for you to give the grace of conversion to his children who are drug addicts and alcoholics. Lord, we beg you, Lord, look at this father's faith. Can you give his children the grace of conversion so they can come to know you? We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." I can do that. That's a deprecatory prayer, because I didn't go over there and say, "I bless you and I drive demons out, me, Jesse Romero." I have no authority to do that. I do have authority to do that in this house. This house here, this is my church. Paragraph 1666 of the Catechism. This is my church, my little house. That's it. Okay. Apart from that, I would just ask God, Our Lady, the angels and saints, to move the person's heart to conversion.
As a matter of fact, today's blog is on specifically on laying on the hands. What are the rules on laying on the hands? So that's something you might want to go to our blog, jesseromero.com, and it's there posted. And then he has some other blogs that we've also posted as links to regarding laying on the hands. So let's continue with our next question. If a priest is doing a deliverance and he is in mortal sin, is it dangerous for him? What do you think?
Yeah. Though a priest has power and authority to pray over people and bless people, obviously, and hear their confession, but a priest in mortal sin, when he's doing a deliverance or an exorcism, he's fair game. If he's in mortal sin, he's fair game. In other words, his unconfessed sins are an open book to the demons, and they will, in many occasions, call them out. And we've actually seen it.
Yeah, I want to add something. I know during Holy Mass, I'm sure there's been incidences where priests have not been in the state of grace, but they're, celebrating Mass. What is your comment on that? Does it apply to him in this instance also?
No.
There is a distinction.
Yeah, there's
correct?
A distinction, because they're not driving out demons. It's the worship of God. So even an unfit or a dirty vessel, as St. Paul says, mm-hmm. an unclean vessel can offer God something worthy. And it's because the priest, during the sacraments, remember, an exorcism is not a sacrament.
Right. It's not.
Yeah. The Mass is a sacrament, so a priest is in persona Christi. So what looks like Father Ben or Adam or Jacob or Craig or Paso, it's Jesus Christ that's effecting the sacrament, that's confecting the sacrament, should I say. An exorcism is a prayer of the church, and so it's not a sacrament where the priest is in persona Christi. So even if he's in mortal sin, it's Christ that's confecting the sacrament.
Well, there you go. There's clarity. Okay, our next question. If my daughter is spiritually afflicted, as parents, what can we do to help her, to get her healed? And that's what we're looking for, healed and living in a state of grace and be in friendship with God, because at this point, she's not.
Okay, that's a good question, but we're coming up to the clock. I don't think I'm going to get the entire response in before the next break. So I'll answer that question. It's basically, help. My daughter is spiritually afflicted, and what can we as parents do? I'll answer that on the next segment. And then we're also going to get into, there's an article that's called 11 Times Jesus Took Demons Seriously and Why You Should Too. So I'll answer the question, help. My daughter's spiritually diabolically afflicted. What can we do as parents? And then we'll go into the other topic. For the rest of the show. You're listening to Jesus 911. Tobias, Sarah, Jess, and Anita. We'll be right back.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
How does the baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
First Responder Radio, Jesus 911, retired cop, retired nurse, Tobias and Sarah, the sacrament of marriage in action. So what's the question, Anita?
Okay, the question. Let's get into it. The question is, help. My daughter is spiritually afflicted. What can we do as parents?
Okay, ask it again because I just turned on the mic.
Help. My daughter is spiritually afflicted. What can we do as parents?
You can do a lot. You can do a lot. Liber Christo School of Healing, Liberation, and Exorcism, which we're connected with in Denver, Colorado, they teach the following. Okay, number one, demons fear people who live clean lives. That's right from the Bible, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Demons also fear people that live ordered lives, Colossians chapter 2, verse 5. Demons like disorder. They don't like order. Demons can be resisted, or they can only be resisted by faith, 1 Peter 5:8. If you don't have faith, you can't resist them. You need faith. And demons are driven out by prayer and fasting, Matthew 17:21. Okay, so mom and dad, if you got a child that's spiritually afflicted, diabolically afflicted, continue your routine of praying three times a day. Your morning offering, your 12 noon Angelus, your 3 p.m. Divine Mercy, and you want to add in, to include also a daily rosary, whenever you can get it in, evening, midday. And in the evening, you also want to add those prayers, Auxilium Christianorum prayers, the ones written by the Liber Christo School of Healing, Liberation, and Exorcism. They're in my book, by the way, Lord, Prepare My Hands for Battle, page 117. Most of you have this book that listen to the show. And they're also on the internet. You can also download them on the internet onto your app. So remember, demons are driven out by, here's the word, constancy. Constancy, you're saying, what does that mean? Constancy means fidelity. It means a routine. You're always doing it over and over and over, okay? They're driven out by constancy or fidelity to prayer, and they're driven out by one having authority, such as the priest or the parents. Now, the ultimate goal to drive out a demon is to reorder your intellectual faculties by helping your daughter study her Catholic faith, because her intellect has been damaged by the drugs and sin. And so the goal is to get her to study the faith, know the basics of the faith. A good Baltimore catechism can do that. That way you reorient your faculties, your intellectual faculties. And then the goal is to get her to the sacrament of confession so that she can reconcile with God through the sacraments, because emotional healing, that's short-lived. What she needs is the healing of the soul, which is accomplished only through the sacraments of the church. And then you could add this prayer also for your daughter, for your unconverted daughter, your unconverted son, you know, throughout the day at a set time, because again, demons hate that monastic schedule, that constancy, okay? Mom and dad, you have the power to bless your children. You can just say, I bless you, especially you, dad. This is important, but both of you together, I bless you, name your child, and may the Lord drive out any evil spirits from you and send them to the foot of the cross in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's all practice. It's very simple, okay? Here's your daughter, here's your son right in front of you, okay? You have the authority as parents to lay hands, okay? You have the authority as parents to lay hands. That person is directly under your authority based on the fourth commandment, natural law and scripture, divine law. So you put your hands on your son, your children. You put your hands on their head. The wife can do this also because they're under her authority based on scripture, okay? And you say something simple like, let's say Johnny, we'll use the name Johnny. I bless you, Johnny. And may the Lord drive out any evil spirits from you and send them to the foot of the cross in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can do that because you're their parents. Okay, let me just add. Okay, go ahead, baby.
I wanted to add constancy and fidelity. There are so many devotionals that we have that are offered in the church. For example, the Liturgy of the Hours, or they also call it the Divine Office. And that is... they call it Opus Dei. What is that? That's Latin for works of God. So what you're doing is, if you're doing the Liturgy of the Hours or any devotional, you know, we use the Magnificat. Now, I'm not promoting, but I'm just sharing you what we use.
And the Laudate.
And Laudate and all that. That has, if you're faithful to the prayers, that's what constancy is. You pray them every day. And all you're doing is sanctifying your day with prayer. you pray it in the morning, and then there's evening prayers and nighttime prayers, and then plus you do your 6:12 and 6 Angelus, your Divine Mercy, your scripture readings of the day, the mass readings. That is what you call sanctifying your day with prayer. And then you're communicating with God all day long. And of course, you're not doing it all at once. You know, that's,
you just space,
you need to, you need to absorb everything that you're praying. It's an absorption. You want to take it in. You want to draw into the prayer.
That's all. Think about this. How do demons look at your prayer when they see your house? Think about the 4th of July when you looked out on the street, all little neighborhoods and cities. You saw rockets, man, shooting up to the sky. You saw these amazing firework displays all over the cities, all over the towns, okay? Demons, this is what they see. They look at your house and they're saying, wow, that house is always shooting out these powerful rockets that are exploding in the air and they're lighting up the sky. That's what your house becomes. You want to turn your house into a fortress of prayer where your prayers, you're constantly shooting rockets of light into the air. And demons are looking at these houses. They know which houses are fortresses of prayer, and they know which houses are firing no rockets, no weapons. And so those houses, they're not a threat to the diabolical. The Romero house, they're looking at this house, they're saying, dang, these guys are constantly throwing rockets in the air and exploding and putting out the light of Christ into the darkness of the sky. I'm just trying to paint an analogy of prayer, because this is what's happening when you guys are praying in your house. You're turning your house into a monastery and you're firing off rockets of light into the air, into the darkness. And this causes torment. It wounds the demons and it drives them away.
Just imagine if all of us were doing this, every house in all the state, in the United States of America, we wouldn't have the riots, all the confusion, the chaos that's occurring right now. So just think about it, share with it. I mean, not think about it, do it.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so are we going to continue on to
our
next?
Yeah, I think there's one more question.
Okay, yeah, I think we covered a little bit of it, but I covered a little bit. Just, do demons fear the liturgy of the hours?
Yeah, you did cover it.
I covered a little bit
of
that.
Did.
Just,
yeah,
I went ahead there.
Demons fear the liturgy of the hours because they fear liturgical prayer more than any other type of prayer. Why? In liturgical prayer, there's order, which means uniformity, there's structure, there's discipline. There's constancy, which means fidelity and consistency in prayer. And this is the way demons used to pray in heaven before their fall, when they were angels. They prayed in liturgy. In fact, in heaven, the saints pray liturgically. There's acclamations, there's doxologies, there's antiphons in the book of Revelation. So you see this uniformity and structure in prayer. Heaven doesn't look like some Protestant Pentecostal, you know, free-for-all where the saints are in spontaneous prayers speaking in tongues. That's not found anywhere in the book of Revelation. The Jews in the Old Testament also prayed liturgically, and they still do today. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he also prayed in liturgy as well, liturgically as well. And so the liturgy of the hours, it leans heavily on the Word of God, which is like a sword. It's an offensive weapon that wounds and torments demons. All right, honey, let's move on to this article. It's called 11 Times Jesus Took Demons Seriously and Why You Should Too. Want to share?
Okay, yeah. We're going to go ahead. It's by Alex R. Ray, and he has different scripture verses. I think we hear the music? No.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, the first one is scriptures on the temptation in the desert. And it tells us Jesus went out into the desert and fasted for 40 days. During these 40 days, Satan tempted him. Jesus resisted all the temptations and Satan departed. Matthew adds that angels came and ministered him following the temptations.
Where is that found in the Bible?
It's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew chapter 4, 1 to 11, Mark chapter 1, verse 12 to 13, and then Luke 4, chapter 4, 1 to 13. So you have different narratives in those three of this. They have this narrative in those three gospels.
So this is the temptation in the desert. Here's what some of the fathers say about this passage. St. Augustine says, quote, why did the Lord offer himself to temptation? Why did Jesus do that? St. Augustine says that our Lord might be our mediator in vanquishing temptation, not by aid only, but by example. So Jesus allowed this to happen, the Son of God, to give us an example how to overcome temptation. St. Jerome says that Christ's purpose in this temptation narrative in the desert was to vanquish temptation by humility. So again, our Lord is telling us how to exercise humility. And St. Jerome also says, the false scripture darts of the devil he brands with the true shield of scripture. So St. Jerome is saying, the devil started quoting the word of God to our Lord, but he was misquoting the word of God. So he was quoting it falsely. Now Jesus, our Lord, starts quoting the word of God back to the devil in the temptation, but he quotes it properly. And St. John Chrysostom says that with these words, our Lord puts an end to the temptations of the devil. When it, I think verse 11, where he says, "Be gone, Satan." So with these words, our Lord puts an end to the temptations of the devil that they should proceed no further. In other words, when Jesus said, okay, knock it off, stop it, boom, it was over. He exercised his divinity in verse 11.
Wow. And this is, you know, also this is referring to the 40 days. What's that? For us, every year, the 40 days is Lent. This is where we need to practice fasting and prayer. Our next question, our next scripture verse is talks about the demon in the synagogue. So you can find that in Mark chapter 1, verse 21 to 28, and then Luke 4, 31 to 37. You can find this narrative. And this talks about Jesus. While teaching in a synagogue in Capernaum, Jesus was interrupted by a man possessed by a demon. He cried out, What have you to do with us, Jesus Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.
We'll stop right there. We'll continue with this question. Jesus 911, retired cop, retired nurse, first responders. Now we're first responders on Soul Patrol. In fact, we're going to Pomona this weekend. St. What parish? St. Madeline in Pomona. Doing some power preaching. We'll be back.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Healthcare news today seems to be coming from everywhere and everyone. It's confusing, at least, and untrustworthy at the worst. Dr. Aceta is a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community. He is trustworthy, well-researched, and will only give expert opinion on matters in his own specialty. Catholic teaching at its entirety is of utmost importance to Dr. Aceta. Give Dr. Aceta a call for your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-695-6617.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Two first responders, retired cop, retired nurse. Now we're responding. We're responding to all people out there that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to bring healing, deliverance, and evangelization to those people that don't know the Lord. So now that's our first responder mission today. If you like what you hear, then like us, hit the subscribe button, and share this show with others, okay? Again, I know what you like what you hear, so just hit like us, hit the subscribe button so you're notified every time the show comes on, and then share this show with others. So Anita, the article that we're sharing is called what?
11 times Jesus took demons seriously and why you should too. And that's by Alex R. Hay. And he says that there's a growing trend among a youth in America called Charlie. I'm sure you guys have heard that. And that's a game supposedly attempts to make contact with a demon named Charlie and ask him questions, a kind of simplified Ouija board. But wait, you say, isn't belief in demons just superstitious, hogwash? It's not at all. In fact, according to many bishops and those involved in exorcisms, the incidence of occult activity and requests for exorcisms are on the rise worldwide. And as we find in the Gospels, Jesus spent a good amount of time in his ministry talking about driving out the demons. Well, you know, this past week, the last 3 days, the Gospels tell us about Jesus driving out demons from the mute, gentleman from the driving the demons out into the swine. I mean, there you go. There's three.
The last three gospels at daily mass has been about exorcism and driving out demons. You can't read the Bible and not believe that demons exist. It's in every other reading at mass. And so this article is 11 times that Jesus took demons seriously and why you should too. I mean, there's more than this, but these are just 11. And so what's the next one, Anita, that we're going to...
Okay, the next one out of the 11 is, the second one is demon in the synagogue. I'll go over it because, you know, we had to cut it the last segment. But here we go. It's in Mark, and you can find it in Luke. Mark chapter 1, verse 21, 28. Luke chapter 4, verse 31, 37. It says, while teaching in a synagogue in a Capernaum, Jesus was interrupted by a man possessed by a demon. He cried out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Jesus ordered the spirit to be quiet and to come out of the man. The man convulsed, and with a loud cry, the spirit left the man.
Very interesting. The demons, when they're in the presence of Jesus, they know exactly who he is. They know that he's divine, that he's a son of God, equal with the Father. And it's interesting because I didn't hear it. I didn't see it myself, but I heard that Don Lemon from CNN just made a statement that Jesus is not God. It's interesting how blinded he is. I don't know what his background is. I'm sure he's not Catholic. Probably, you know, fallen away Protestant or something. I know he's a practicing, he's in a homosexual relationship, so that'll cloud your judgment of reality as well. But the fact is, demons know exactly who Jesus is. And the Venerable Bede, back in the 6th century, he said this, for the devils, seeing the Lord on the earth, thought that they were immediately to be judged. So in this instant, the Venerable Bede says that upon seeing Jesus, they're saying, uh-oh, this is judgment day. Okay, we're gonna be consigned to hell. This is why they were so panicking. Then you got an Eastern theologian, an Eastern scholastic theologian called Theophylact. He lived back in the 11th century. He says this about this passage. For to come out of man, the devil considers as his own perdition. For devils are ruthless, thinking that they suffer some evil, so long as they are not troubling men. There follows, I know that thou art the Holy One of God. So Theophylact, this Eastern Catholic theologian, is saying that the demons, again, their comfort zone is tormenting a person, okay? An unclean person that's living in mortal sin. Now, when they're driven out, because demons are ruthless, this theologian says, that when they're driven out of a man, they consider that as their perdition. Just like Venerable Bede said, they're like, uh-oh, it's judgment day, and our goose is cooked.
Yeah. As we continue on to the third of the 11 times Jesus took demons seriously, here we go, Matthew 8 and Mark 5 and Luke 8. Here we go. Jesus and his disciples were traveling in the region of the Gerasenes. When they arrived there, a man who had been living among the tombs because of demonic possession approached Jesus and fell prostrate before him, calling out, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God, what have you to do with us?" The demons begged him, "Do not torment us." "What is your name?" Jesus asked. They'd answered him, "Legion is my name. There are many of us." They begged him not to drive them away from the territory and requested, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of swine." He allowed them to enter the nearby herd of swine. The pigs ran down a steep bank into the sea and drowned. The man who had been freed of legion proclaimed to all the people what the Lord had done. Had done for him. Mm-hmm.
Well, what's a legion? A legion is at least 4,000 to 6,000 soldiers. Okay, so that's a lot. That means a lot. St. Thomas Aquinas, he says about this passage, he says, "The devils entered not into the swine of their own will, but their asking for this concession was that it might be shown that they cannot hurt men without divine permission." So St. Thomas is saying, any step a demon takes, they have to ask permission from God. St. Thomas says, "They did not ask to be sent into men because they saw that he, by whose power they were tortured, bore a human form. Nor did they desire to be sent into the flocks, for they are clean animals offered up in the temple of God. But they desired to be sent into the swine, because no animal is more unclean than a hog. And devils always delight in filthiness." It goes on, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave. The Venerable Bede, he says about this passage, he says, "And our Lord gave them," the demons, "leave, that by the killing of the swine, the salvation of men might be furthered." In other words, so what's more important, human souls or pigs? Okay, maybe Peter should read that. Peter should read this commentary. And the Venerable Bede also says, "For it is a great torment for a devil to cease to hurt a man, and the more severely he possesses him, the more reluctantly he lets him go. For it goes on, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." In other words, Venerable Bede is saying, when a demon is thrown out of a human person by our Lord or by an exorcist, it causes them great pain. They don't want to leave the person. They enjoy hurting people, and they're reluctant to leave. They don't want to go. But it's painful as they're driven out. It's painful because it reminds them of their final judgment day.
Yeah, I just want to mention something there. It said, "What is your name?" Jesus asked them, "What is your name?" Only through the authority of the Jesus gives the bishops authority, and obviously the bishops give the exorcist authority. They are the only ones that can ask what the name of the demon is, asking him, "What is your name?" That's imprecatory prayers. So they ask him, and I believe, right, if I'm not mistaken, they're weakened. Once they reveal their name, their power is weakened.
Absolutely.
And that's probably why they left. Well, because he's God.
Yeah, and but, you're making a good point, because remember when Adam was given the power, the authority to name all the animals, as he's naming the elephants, elephant, hippopotamus, rhinoceros, whatever, that shows power over somebody when you know their name and you call them by the, and you actually you give them a name. And so the fact that they have to reveal their name, it shows that they're submissive to the person that's extracting that information. And so it weakens them. And so that's already one of the ways where you know that the prayers are effective. The exorcism is the exorcism's prayers are effective because the demons are weakened by having to give up their name. It would be like somebody who's committing, you know, some spy, and all of a sudden you arrest a spy and you put him behind bars and, okay, what's your name? Yeah, I work for Russia and, you know, my name is so-and-so, or I'm from communist China. This is my name. This is right. It weakens them. You expose them once they give their name.
And just remember, lady, we cannot ask the demons our name. Remember that.
Yeah, because I know well-intentioned Catholics sometimes have done this, and I've actually seen it. And I'm like, time out. You can't do that. The Vatican has actually written a document. Cardinal Ratzinger says the only person that can question a demon is a priest with the authority of the bishop.
Yeah. Okay, we'll continue with number four of the 11 times Jesus took demons seriously. Here we go. Driving out demons by the power of demons. And you can find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke. And you can just look at the article and it will give you the exact scripture verses. Here we go. After Jesus drove a demon out of a person who was mute, restoring their speech, he was accused of driving out demons by the power of Beelzebul, the devil. Jesus responded to the accusations. Every kingdom divided against itself will be laid waste, and house will fall against house. And if Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that it is by Beelzebul that I drive out demons. If I then drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your own people drive them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his palace, his possessions are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he takes away the armor on which he relied and distributes the spoils. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. I think we hear the music.
We hear the music. Jesus 911. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and like us, hit the subscribe button, and share this with others. We'll continue talking about the 11 times Jesus Christ took demons seriously and why you should too. Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
In 1 Corinthians 13:13, St. Paul says, "So there abide faith, hope, and love, these three." According to St. Ignatius of Antioch, faith is the beginning and love is the end. And God is the two of them brought into unity. Then comes everything else that makes up a Christian. May God grant that we may attain all the virtues that make for authentic followers of His Son.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, Jess and Anita, no, Tobias and Sarah. You know what? We're trying to do this to inspire Catholic couples to pray together. Let me just tell you real quick. It's in the book of Tobit. If both of you pray together, you drive out demons from your house. But the man has to lead. Man up, guys. Don't be sitting there on the couch drinking beer and having your wife be a prayer warrior. You know what happens? The demons see that and say, disorder, disorder, disorder. You're supposed to be the Saint Joseph of the house. Guess what? Guess who taught our Lord how to pray according to tradition? Guess who? Guess who led the family in prayer? Saint Joseph. Okay, let's jump into point number four, babe.
Okay, yeah, back to point number four on the 11 times Jesus took demons.
Was it proper
seriously
to call you babe in on radio?
Absolutely.
I think so, right? Yeah, okay.
That's who we are, okay. My love.
We are who we are.
Got right? You back.
Okay, got it.
Okay, driving out demons by the power of demons. And that's, again, Matthew, Mark, Luke. After Jesus drove a demon out of a person who was mute, restoring their speech, he was accused of driving out demons by the power of the Beelzebul, the devil. Jesus responded to the accusations. Every kingdom divided against itself will be laid waste, and a house will fall against house. And if Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that it is by Beelzebul that I drive out demons. If I, then, drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your own people drive them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his palace, his possessions are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he takes away the armor on which he relied and distributes the spoils. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather me with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of someone, it roams through arid regions searching for the rest, but finding none, it says, I shall return to my home from which I came. But upon returning, it finds it swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and brings back seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, who move in and dwell there, and the last condition of that person is worse than the first.
Wow.
Wow, lots of meat there.
A lot of meat and potatoes. Let me break this down here. St. John Chrysostom, here's what he says about this story, these words of Christ. He says, the last state, these words are also addressed to Christians who may often, and with reason, fear lest the vice we think extinguished in us again return and seize our slothful and careless souls. St. John Chrysostom says, finding them cleansed, the demon, okay, finding them cleansed indeed from the filth of sin by the grace of baptism, but destitute of every ornamented protected virtue, it brings with it seven other evil spirits by which we must understand every vicious inclination. The latter state of these souls is worse than the former because, having been delivered from all former sins and adorned with grace, if they again return to their iniquities, a much more grievous punishment will be due for every subsequent crime. So let me kind of explain that. Because it didn't make sense to me for many years, this section where it says, but upon returning, it finds it swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and brings back seven others. So I'm saying, well, I thought that's what God wanted us to be, clean and in order. And why are demons going to come back now if everything's clean and in order? St. John Chrysostom penetrates this verse further. He says, yeah, once you're now right with God, your life is clean and in order. Now you're supposed to adorn your life with virtue. Get it? Faith, hope, love, prudence, justice, temperance, fortitude. That's how you're supposed to adorn your soul. Okay, that's good. The demon's gone. Let's say you're back in a state of grace. You're in a relationship with God. In the spiritual life, there's no neutral. You're either ascending towards God or descending towards hell. And so what St. John Chrysostom is saying, yeah, once your house is swept clean and put in order, the demons are driven out, you have to adorn the interior with virtue. Now, there's an old Catholic commentary I looked at. It's a 1954 before Vatican II. It says this. This verse seems to express by means of a parable the lesson that the Jews, in refusing to accept the kingdom of God inaugurated in the person of Jesus and his victory over Satan, have placed themselves in a worse position than that in which they were before. So this old Catholic commentary, pre-Vatican II, says that this parable is actually talking about the Jews, is that because they've rejected Christ, you know, their situation now is worse than it was before. Now, I'll read that again. It says, this is a lesson for the Jews in refusing to accept the kingdom of God in the person of Jesus and his victory over Satan. The Jews have placed themselves in a worse position than that in which they were before. Now, the Navarre commentary says this. Our Lord shows us that the devil is relentless in his struggle against man. Despite man rejecting him with the help of grace, the devil still lays his traps, still tries to overpower him. Jesus also forewarns us about the danger of being once more defeated by Satan, which would leave us worse off than we were before. And there's a Latin proverb that puts it well. It says, the corruption of the best is the worst. And St. Peter talks about corrupted Christians in 2 Peter 2:22. He says it in a very frightening and graphic way, the dog returning back to his own vomit, the pig being washed and then wallowing in the mire. So again, when you clean your house and you put it in order, now you got to adorn the house, the soul, with virtue, with good moral habits.
Yeah. I was thinking that's why it's very important. We've seen instances where there's been energumens they felt good, and then once they were prayed over and they come back and they're afflicted again. So there you go. There's no sacramental life. That's what we need. We need the sacraments, confession, communion, prayer, rosary, the devotionals of the church. That's how you stay free
exactly.
From being diabolically afflicted.
Correct.
So, I just thought I'd want to share that. Is that correct?
Yeah. I think it is. And when you, again, the sacraments is what cleans the soul. And now that the soul's clean, now you have to move towards holiness, virtue. Yeah. If you don't adorn the soul with virtue, you fell back into sin. So that's the whole point of what St. John Chrysostom is saying.
Right, and that's where the model of Liber Christus, that's their model, is returning to the sacraments,
yeah,
living in a state of grace. And that's
how we return to God the Father,
right,
is through the sacraments.
Through the sacraments.
Yeah, not some, you know, liver quiver, emotional,
yes,
healing.
Right,
I feel good. No.
Yeah.
I think we could have chance for one more.
Okay, so we'll do.
We got our handsome grandson coming in here.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Caleb. How are you, Papa?
Let me
give you a hug so the people can see you.
Okay.
Yeah, people can see you right now. It's my grandson. Okay, go ahead, Grandma.
Okay, so here we go. We are on number five of the 11 times Jesus took demons seriously. And you can find this in Luke 4, chapter 4, verse 41. And he says, the scripture begins with, while curing the sick, Jesus was approached by demons who called out, "You are the Son of God." Jesus rebuked them and ordered them not to speak because they knew he was the Messiah.
So St. John Chrysostom, Archbishop of Constantinople, 4th century, they call him Golden Mouth. Here's what he says about this verse. He says, but in what follows about Jesus rebuking the demons, our Lord rebuking them suffered the demons not to speak, marked the humility of Christ, who would not let the unclean spirits make him manifest. For it was not fit that they should usurp the glory of the apostolical office, nor did it become the mysteries of Christ to be made public by impure tongues. So St. John Chrysostom saying, Jesus was not going to let, that's an apostolic ministry to say, you are the Son of God. And Jesus was not going to let profane tongues, these demons, say that, the holy name, and give him his title. The theologian back in the year 1000, Theophylact, an Eastern Catholic theologian, he says this, because praise is not seemly in the mouth of a sinner, or because he did not wish to inflame the envy of the Jews by being praised of all. So again, these two theologians, St. John Chrysostom and Theophylact, they're saying demons and even sinners don't deserve to be saying, Jesus, you are the Son of God, because their lips are profane, their tongues are profane, and this is something that should come from the apostolic office.
Yes. And we're going to continue with our 11 times Jesus took demons seriously, and this is number 6 out of the 11. The disciples are unable to drive out a demon. And you'll find this in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So we continue with the scripture narrative. A man came to Jesus and told him his disciples were unable to cast out a demon from his son. Jesus asked that the boy he brought up be brought to him. Upon approaching Jesus, the demon caused the boy to convulse. The man told Jesus that the demon had forced the boy into fire and water in an attempt to kill the boy. The father asked him to help, if you can. Jesus replied, if you can, everything is possible to the one who has faith. I do believe, the man responded. Help my unbelief. Jesus ordered the spirit to leave the boy. Once again, the demon made the boy convulse, and with a cry, the demon left. The boy laid on the ground motionless. His father thought he was dead, but Jesus took the boy by the hand and helped him up. Later, the disciples asked why they were unable to drive out the demon. Jesus told them, from Mark's account, this kind can only come out through prayer. In the Gospel of Matthew, he says, because your little faith, amen, I say to you, you have faith the size of a mustard seed. Okay, it sounds like we're listening.
The music is here.
So we're going to continue part two.
Yeah.
Next week.
Yeah, we'll do part two next week. Jesus 911. Tobias and Sarah signing out. We're 10-7. We're off duty, out of service. No, we're never off duty. We're always on duty.
Absolutely,
for Jesus.
That's what we're going to be doing this weekend. We're on duty.
We're on our way to Pomona, 10-8 for Jesus. Preach at St. Madeline's Church. Up next, Gary Machuda, hands-on apologetics. From the Midwest Command Center. And by the way, go to his website. He just had a debate against a Protestant on the issue of the 7 disputed books of the Bible. If you want to see Gary, once again, one of the great apologists of the Catholic Church, defend the church brilliantly, go to his website.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.